I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Food Network Obsessed. This is the podcast where we dish on all things food with your favorite chefs, food influencers, and Food Network stars. I'm your host, Jamie Sire, and today we have a Jersey Shore chef talking about her rise from an East Coast 8 seed to a force to be reckoned with on the finale of this season's Tournament of Champions. But before we get to our guests, I do have some exciting news to share. Food Network Obsessed has been nominated for a Webby Award. Our team is incredibly excited, but we do need your help to win. So please click into the episode description and you will see a link to vote. All right, back to our guest. She is the fierce chef, affectionately known as the Angry Italian. It's Britt Racino. Britt, welcome to the podcast and congratulations on reaching the finale of TOC.
It's so exciting. It's so, so exciting.
It is so exciting. I cannot wait to watch. It's just in 2 days. We're going to talk all about that later. But first things first, the Angry Italian. Where did the nickname come from?
So, you know, in the kitchen, I tend to be a little intense. And my sous chef used to refer to me as the Angry Italian. He'd be like, hey, anyone know where the Angry Italian is? And everyone would be like, who's that? And he'd look at them and just be like, who's Italian and who's angry? Put them together. Where is she?
And it just stuck, huh?
Yeah, I guess it took him like almost a year to tell me that he had a nickname for me.
Oh, so it was his own nickname behind your back for a little while.
Oh, it was totally behind my back. And when he told me, I just started like laughing so hard and he was so nervous to tell me. It was so cute. He was like, yeah, you're the angry Italian.
It's fine. Oh my gosh. I love that. I love it because I feel like you're not angry when we see you on TV. You're so full of joy and so excited, you know, to be in whichever competition we're watching you at the time. So it's nice to hear the behind the scenes, I guess, a little bit too. Well, speaking of which, you are no stranger to competition or Food Network. You recently won Guy's Grocery Games. You are a Beat Bobby Flay and Chopped champion. When did this journey into cooking competitions begin?
I did a lot of cooking competitions when I was in high school.
Oh, really?
I've been competitive my whole life. I played sports and everything. So it's kind of just in my blood. It's like what gets me going and what gets me pumping. And then, you know, as you grow up and become an adult, less and less of those things are around. And I was like, all right, I guess let's do the Food Network thing if I can. See how it all works out because I miss that adrenaline rush. And the first day stepping into the kitchen on Chopped, and I was just like, oh my gosh, my heart is going to explode out of my chest. I'm actually here. I'm so excited. This is so surreal. So yeah, that started in like 2017 and it's just been a crazy roller coaster since.
What do you like about that atmosphere and that adrenaline rush? And like you said, the competition that you've grown up with your whole life.
It's that just that rush. Like it's not like anything I've ever felt in my life. And at the end of the day, you're like making something beautiful and elegant and delicious and sexy out of nothing in literally 30 minutes. Like that's just impressive.
No, it's so impressive. I'm constantly amazed by all of the chefs that we get to watch on Food Network. And you said something in an interview once that I wanted to bring up. You said there comes a point in your career when you decide I need to do some things for me. So was diving into these opportunities with Food Network kind of part of that?
Yeah, it definitely was. It makes myself more available for whenever I have the opportunity to do these things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's my happiness. Like, I love giving people a little piece of me. It's really fulfilling. And to see all the support of, like, people just supporting me is what's giving me all of that motivation to be able to do what I have to do for me to feel fulfilled in life.
Mm-hmm. What does fulfill you?
Making people's bellies completely happy. It's that first bite where, you know, you're hunched over about to take a bite of, you know, my pasta or a burger or some pizza. And like, you take that bite and you're like, oh man. And you sit back and you're like, damn, what am I eating right now? Like, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I want to do. It's the ratatouille moment. I have a tattooed on my hand. It's bringing people back to a familiar place with like something so unfamiliar. And doing that is just life goals.
Wait, I want to know more about this tattoo. So is it actually ratatouille or is it like a quote from the show, from the movie, or what's the tattoo?
So I have Anton Ego tattooed on my hand of like when he first took a bite of the ratatouille. Mm-hmm. And he like sat back and he went right back to his mom's kitchen, sitting at her table, and this like rustic stew gets put in front of him. But when he's eating at the restaurant, it's this beautiful, elegant plate of ratatouille. Mm-hmm. But just that one bite brought him right back to being a little boy and just being completely happy with whatever his mom made him.
And why did you decide that that needed to be on your body forever? Like what made you want to like look at that every day, I guess?
It just reminds me of like my motivation and my goals. Mm-hmm. Like you want to achieve this every time. So make sure whatever is coming and being produced out of your hands is going to achieve that moment.
I love that. And I want to go back a little bit to kind of your beginnings, because you are a Jersey Shore chef. You grew up in the industry, kind of cut your teeth in your family's place, Allen's Clam Bar, which they still own. Who taught you to cook?
My dad is a chef. Mm-hmm. He went to culinary school, so I learned a lot from him. But also I grew up like hand in hand with my grandmother. My family's restaurant is literally right next door to my house. And then on the other side of that is my grandmother.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, I grew up just like, what are you doing? Let's hang out. Like, let me get my step stool. I want to see what you're doing. Like, this looks fun. We used to make clam pies together. It was like our thing. Mm. We wear black pants because it always showed all the flour everywhere. And then we would wear our aprons and we'd make clam pies together. And it was like the most fun. And she would tell me stories and teach me things and why we do things. And I just loved spending all of that time. And, you know, I'm also Italian. So like the kitchen is the center of all entertainment. So it's just like, if I wasn't going to be a chef, what the heck else was I going to do? This is my life.
Do you remember like the first dish that you really like mastered and felt like I can do this. This is my dish.
This is going to sound really funny, but I'm really proud. Mom and dad divorced when I was younger. So like, I guess I was younger than five and I made my first scrambled egg by myself. Like my dad was watching me, but like I made my first scrambled egg and it was so delicious. And that was like the start of my whole egg obsession. But I remember like being able to drag the chair over to the stove and like my dad was coaching me what to do. And it was just so amazing. And that's like my perfect dish. Some scrambled eggs.
Some scrambled eggs. Yeah. I think it's like, you know, it's one of those things that it can be hard to master and do really well, but it's definitely a skill that everybody should have, right?
Absolutely.
And apparently you developed that skill at a very much younger age than most people. You know, I think there's learning to cook. There's also understanding, you know, the business side of the industry. How much exposure did you get to both growing up, especially with your family having that restaurant so close to you?
Oh man. I mean, I remember when I was little, like before I could actually work, I was like hostessing with my grandmother, like standing with her, and she'd be like, okay, take them to table 4, take them to table 15, and like doing all that stuff. And then, you know, the end of the night, my mom was a waitress. So like, she'd have me organizing all of her money. So like, even at a very small age, I was always in the front while being obsessed with the back. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously became a cook and then moved up the ladders in the family restaurant business. And then you get more exposure to business and the front of stuff. And, but I don't want my hands on the money. I want my hands on the food.
You want to be in the back.
I want to be in
the
back.
Actions happening. Yeah. I mean, did you ever consider anything else, or was this always like, this is what I'm doing, this is what I was made to do?
I used to think back in the day that I was going to be a basketball player, which is so funny because basketball wasn't even my number one sport I played.
What was your number one sport?
Soccer.
Okay.
Soccer and baseball were my two sports. And I was like, I'm going to be in the WNBA.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, I'm not. I'm going to be a chef. That was fun for about 2 seconds.
Well, it seems like it was a pretty good backup plan. You know, what about your personality and perspective do you think has made you a successful chef?
I think just like always being true to myself. It's actually hard to sometimes get lost in the culinary field because you want to do so much. And I think me always focusing on what I want to do and what I want to cook. And honestly, at the end of the day, what I want to eat. It's not really about anyone else, because if like I'm always cooking for someone else, I'm never going to put my best foot forward. So I always want to cook for myself because, I mean, nobody's palate is better than my own for my own food. So it's like, all right, let me cook what I want to cook and be me. And that's what I'll always do when it comes to my food.
How would you describe your cooking style? Like, is there a certain, you know, cuisine or, you know, type of ingredient that you gravitate towards? Or is it, like you said, just whatever you feel like, you know, eating on that particular day?
Yeah, it's kind of like whatever I feel like eating on that particular day. I mean, I definitely have my pantry staples. I don't think I've ever not had anchovies in my cabinet ever. Canned tomatoes, pasta, like, you know, I gravitate towards Italian cuisine, but that being said, like Jersey cuisine as well, because if you actually draw a line from New Jersey to Italy, they're on the same wavelength.
Really?
Yeah. So that's like the climates and everything is so similar. The terroir is a lot different, but like I get to eat Italian food from New Jersey all the time. And it's like the best. So that's definitely my cooking style. I'm classically trained in French cuisine as well, mm-hmm. but there's no limitations to what I like to cook because I love to teach myself something new every day.
For anybody listening that doesn't know, like how would you describe what is like New Jersey style food? Like what does that encompass?
Just like really fresh. I mean, it's the Garden State. So, you know, the philosophy from where I'm from, which is in South Jersey, which is basically like the woods meet the beach.
Okay.
It's a bunch of farmland. So like we literally just grow all of our crops. Like I have a huge garden in the summer and I don't go to the grocery store in the summer. Like I live out of my garden.
What is your favorite thing? Like what are some of your favorite things to plant in your garden?
Jersey tomatoes, of course.
Of course.
I will fight anyone. Jersey tomatoes are the best tomatoes you'll ever eat in your entire life.
Period. End of story. Period.
End of story. There's nothing else to say.
I always have to ask people from Jersey when we have them on, do you say Taylor ham or do you say pork roll?
I would love for you to go to the store. Do me a favor. Go to the store. Pick up a thing of Taylor pork roll.
It's the same.
And tell me where on that label you find the word ham.
Okay. So that's the answer to your question. I have a feeling.
That's the answer to my question.
Oh, no, I love it. Britt reveals how she prepared for the insane head-to-head matchups on this season of Tournament of Champions and what it was like going up against the reigning champ. That's coming up next.
Hold up. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, let's get into TOC because, as I mentioned at the top, we are so excited to talk to you about it and also see what happens in the finale. You get to the competition, which I think is just an incredible feat as it is to be selected and put up against, you know, the talent that is in that bracket. And not only that, they put you up against the reigning champ, Tiffany Faison. What was going through your mind when they revealed that first matchup for you?
I'm going home.
I made you thought it. That?
I literally like looked up at the bracket and I was like, I looked around and I was like, all right, Britt, like soak this up. You did good. You made it. You hit your goal of making it onto TOC. Your name's up there. Take a second, look around, take a deep breath because you're going home. And it was like, all right, like I'm proud of myself. Like yeah. I made it there. I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would ever be on that stage. So like the fact that I was there, I was like so emotional. Like I was fighting tears nonstop.
And you didn't go home though, is the thing.
I somehow did not go home.
what was your reaction? What was going through your mind? You know, I asked you what was going through your mind when you found out who you were facing, but what was going through your mind when they said you were moving on? When guys said you were moving on?
I honestly couldn't think. I was like, wait, what? And then the next thing I know, like Tiffany's hugging me and I'm crying and Guy is like looking at me with an open mouth and I'm just like, what just happened? What is going on? This is a joke. Pinch me, somebody, slap me, anything, because let me know this is real because it can't be.
What do you think, you know, was your edge or the reason that you were able to come out victorious in that first round?
I just stuck to the plan. Like, you know, I have this strategy where whatever is thrown at me and whatever I think of first, that's what I'm making. Mm. And, you know, if you change or you pivot halfway through or a quarter of the way through, you've already lost so much time. So whatever you're cooking, just do it. Whatever your idea is, don't second guess yourself. Stick to your gut and just make it yummy and make it sexy. Like, that's all I think about.
I like it. I've read that quote from you before too. Just sexy food. That's all you are trying to do, right?
Sexy food, man. Everyone wants to eat some sexy food.
Yeah, why not? You know, the interesting thing that we've talked about a lot as it relates to TOC is, you know, it is a blind tasting, but on top of that, you don't find out who's judging until you're all done. What kind of challenges does that present, or does it kind of take some stuff out of the equation for you?
For me, it takes everything out of the equation for me. It really makes me, you know, cook for myself, like cook for my own palate instead of, you know, if you know who the judges are, you're going to try to lean towards them to try to sway them. And then sometimes you just get lost and flavors get muddled. Like, don't worry about who your judges are. Don't worry about who you're competing against. Don't worry about the cameras. Don't worry about Guy. You're in the kitchen. Just make food that you want to make.
And Alex Guarnaschelli was one of those first judges, you know, fellow, obviously, Italian chef. And you were obviously very thrilled with her reaction to your food. How does it feel to have that recognition from some of these iconic chefs that you admire?
It's surreal. It really is absolutely surreal. I have looked up to Alex since I was a little kid. I've watched every single show she's ever been on. I've watched her almond commercials over and over and over again. Like, I have her cookbooks. I've eaten at Butter. Like, I love Alex. And the fact, like, I'm even getting emotional just talking about it. Like, the fact that she had so many wonderful things to say and, like, needed a hug after eating my dish. Like, that's my goals. Like, that's what I look forward to.
You know, obviously you're getting a little emotional just, you know, thinking about it. And we saw that emotion come out several times, you know, throughout the course of this competition. And, you know, it's very clear that this means a lot to you. You know, what does it, I mean, if you can put it into words, what does it mean to you to be on this stage, you know, and not only on the stage, but excelling on this stage?
It's kind of silly to say this, but it's like validation that I really made the right choice in life. And like, you know, you only get, my grandfather used to say, you only live once. This ain't no dress rehearsal. So like, whatever you do, make sure you do it because that's what you want to do in life. And you want to be successful and happy. And like, this is validation that like, I am doing the right thing. This is my path. I chose the right things and I am YOLOing really hard.
Ah, you're making me cry now. You've been such a delight to watch. And I feel like people are just rooting for you. You are a person people want to cheer for. They want you to succeed. What has the feedback been like so far?
It has been tremendous. I mean, in February, I went to Hawaii and it was the second week in February and I had 3,980 followers. And I was so excited that I was about to hit 4,000. I'm like, I just need 20 more. Like, this is so cool. And now I'm like about to hit 10K. And I'm like, what? What? And everyone has so much nice things to say. Like, I really, like, it's just so humbling and so nurturing to my soul that it's like, wow. People take their time out of their day to watch me on TV and then shoot me a message on Instagram. And like, I try so hard to make sure that I touch every single person, whether I'm liking it or responding. Sometimes it's, I just don't have all the time to be able to respond to every single person, but I really try hard to, because it's so important to me and I'm so thankful.
Is there a particular message or DM or comment that like stands out to you that really, you know, kind of took you back, you know, made you step back and kind of realize, you know, this is something really special?
I actually had a culinary student reach out to me and was just like, chef, I've been very confused over, you know, all of the choices that I'm making in life. I wasn't sure if the culinary career was the career for me. I watched you on TOC and I am completely inspired. And it's made me put my nose back down to the grind and really fall in love with food again. And I can't thank you enough. And it was just like, I read it and I just started crying. And it's like, all I want to do is inspire the younger chefs, because this is a hard career and this is a hard job. But like, it's so rewarding. And like, if you have the slightest passion, I want to fuel it for you. I want to help you because you can succeed and do wonderful things in this career.
And you are proving that. You are showing that on this season of Tournament of Champions. Looking back at all the battles and everything that kind of unfolded during this competition, what stands out to you the most? Like, what was the hardest thing you had to do or moment that came across during this show?
Honestly, the hardest moment was looking at the randomizer. It's so daunting.
Yeah.
I just kept looking at it. I'm like, this thing is going to kick my butt.
Like, how do you mentally approach the randomizer? I mean, you can't really, I guess, because you don't know what it's going to be, right?
Yeah, you have no idea what the options are going to be, what it could mix up, what it could do. But I had a very strict study session schedule every single day. Like every day I had a schedule. Three hours in the morning I would study.
And what were you studying?
All different cuisines, all different ingredients, all different, you know, scenarios that I could have come up with, you know, different recipes for cuisines that like, you know, people don't eat all the time. So I had different fresh ideas. And I just 5 hours a day, every single day, I was very strict. It didn't matter what time I was going to bed. I had 2 hours before I went to bed. And I was usually up at like 4:30 in the morning to study in the morning.
And then would you also like kind of do, you know, simulated cooks were timed or anything like that? Did you prep in that way? Or was it more just like immersing yourself in information?
For me, it was immersing myself with information because I have like, I schedule myself out for competitions. So it's like, all right, I have 5 minutes to shop. I need 4 minutes to plate. I need a minute to run and grab my plates. And the rest is just cooking. Mm-hmm. So like I have my goals that I set while it's cooking. So I don't worry about the time that much because I know where I need to be. Mm-hmm. But like some equipment, I definitely did my research and started like playing with. And I watched a ton of cooking competitions to see like different ingredients and made lists. I had index cards for days.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Wouldn't believe it.
Did you watch a lot of TOC and like take notes on, you know, just past battles and judges comments and randomizer ingredients and all that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I wrote down notes. I wrote down like how many, I was writing down like the silliest things, like how many bites they take of food. Like how much flavor do I have to punch into 2 bites of food? Your plate can be all beautiful and sexy and everything like that. But you have to remember that at the end of the day, they're going to have 2 bites of your food because that's all they need. So it was like, I was writing that down. I was like, all right, 2 bites, 3 bites, 2 bites, 1 bite. I would watch TOC and then pause and write down all the spices that I could and where they were and where it was organized.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I like really.
No, you were prepared.
Yeah. I was so happy to be there. I didn't want to disappoint anyone.
I love that. I mean, when you get there, especially for that first challenge, obviously you haven't cooked in that kitchen before. Do you have time to kind of like look through the pantry and see what's what? Or did you really rely on that research that you did?
I really relied on my research.
Wow.
I really, really did. I mean, you can see it from afar, like the pantry and stuff like that. And like you can look at it but it's just so hard because you're so over-censored by like your sensory is overload.
Wow. As I mentioned, the finale is Sunday. So we are 2 days away from finding out who is the season 4 champion. Without giving any spoilers, what can we look forward to in the finale?
Wow. Wow.
Really?
Wow. This is, like I said, I'm a huge like Food Network fan. I'm a nerd. I watch all the competition shows and this is going to be the best one yet.
Ah, I'm so excited. I mean, what do you think you've learned about yourself throughout the course of this competition? Would you change anything?
I would never change anything. Nothing. I'm so proud of every single thing I did. It was absolutely amazing. But I really learned the amount of grit that I have. Like, I was so proud. You're around 32 chefs. 32 chefs not only that are so amazing, but that I've looked up to my whole life. Mm-hmm. That is a very easy distraction. Very easy. And we are all staying in the same place. We're all hanging out all the time. And it's like, I didn't care. I needed to go study. I needed to focus. I did my Zen work, like whatever I had to do to mentally. And it was like, dude, I got grit, man. I can do this.
Yeah. And we see that. We see that on every single episode that you are on. How you talk about, you know, the friendships and the other chefs that you look up to. How many of them did you actually like know personally before going on this show? And then how many new friends did you gain from being on it?
I knew casually Joe Sasto.
And that's it?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, yeah, Joe Sasto is it.
And now
I have 32 awesome friends that I could call or text at any time. I'm actually in Seattle right now hanging out with Shoda.
I was just going to say, I saw you were hanging out with Shoda, who we also had on the podcast a few weeks ago. I feel like you've been making a point to like go visit different cities and hang out with some of these chefs that you were on the show with. What has that been like, I guess?
It's been so fun and very exhausting. I get to hang out with some really amazing people and make some really dope food. Like, we're making the craziest and most amazing food. But it's really just about like common chef friends that understand like what you're going through all of this, and having that common ground and really truly building friendships and relationships and business relationships with. And it's so amazing that I get to hang out with these people and like go to dinner and like, hey, come over to my house. Like, let's have a beer. Let's have a glass of wine.
Yeah. Like, not like let's go into the most intense arena of all time and compete against each other. You actually get to hang out and have fun.
Yeah. And they actually like care. Like it's friends. It's a real friend. And it's even more so like a deeper connection because they truly understand your work. Mm-hmm. So there's no pressure. There's no expectations. It's like, hey, you text me a week later. Cool. Like, I understand you're busy.
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
No, it's been really cool to watch for sure. And, you know, I guess to put it in sports terms, you were definitely the Cinderella story of this tournament. And I'm just curious if, you know, after talking to you, you know, for the last 30 minutes or so, like, it seems like you kind of thrive on that role, like that role of being the underdog. Is that accurate?
Oh, I love being the underdog. Like, I'm not like a big spotlight person. I'm kind of shy.
Really?
Yeah, I really try to bust out of my skin when I'm on TV, but like, it's so hard. But like, I'm shy. Like, I just want to come in and like do me and like be a little entertaining. And like, next thing you know, I'm like pulling out the sniper and I'm like, bam. Gotcha.
Angry Italian strikes again.
Right.
You also kind of seem to feed off of some of that doubt. Can you talk about your affection for the term eat crow and how it's shaped some of the ventures you have coming up?
Yeah. So there's always going to be the people that are haters. They hate us because they ain't us. Mm-hmm. We get it. And honestly, those are the ones that drive me the hardest, because they motivate me to be better, to want mm-hmm. to be the best that I absolutely can be personally, professionally. And so I had so many doubts of people that were saying like, oh, you're never going to do anything. And December, I left my job and I was like, you know what? I'm going to open up a pop-up. I want it to be called Crow. Because everyone can honestly eat crow. You don't believe in me, you don't have to. I don't need you in my life. All I need is support and positiveness. And you know what? Eat crow. And if you don't want to eat crow, why don't you come in and eat at Crow?
And actually eat.
Yeah.
Wait, tell me more about the pop-ups. Like, what kind of food are you going to be serving? Where is this going to be happening? Where can we be on the lookout for it?
I'm doing some pop-ups here in Seattle. And basically wherever I travel, I'm going to try to do a couple of pop-ups.
Okay.
I never know where I'm going to be from week to week. So it's like, this is always an adventure, but I always want to try to get with someone that I can partner with mm-hmm. and do a fun dinner. And my philosophy is local, sustainable food. So wherever I'm at, I want to use whatever is local to them.
That's so cool. And what's the feedback been so far on the ones that you've done?
Oh, it's been fantastic. It's really, really fantastic. I just did a dinner in New Jersey for David's Dream and Believe, which is a cancer foundation. And we sold out. We actually oversold. There were 71 seats and we were able to donate a bunch of money to them. And it was just a magical night and people had so much fun. And that's what it's about. Like so many people missed my food. There was like 80% of my customers from the restaurant that I had just left at that pop-up because they were just like, I miss your cooking. I miss you being out here and talking with us. And they felt like they were right back at home. And that's exactly what my one customer said. He was like, it feels like we're back home. And I was like, dude, that's my goal.
That's the goal. Well, I hope I have a chance to eat some of your crow.
Yeah, come on through.
At some point, but more importantly, so looking forward to watching you continue your journey on TOC in the finale. And it's been so much fun talking to you about it. So we're excited to watch it. We are going to finish things off with a little rapid fire round. And then we have one final question that we ask everybody here on Food Network Obsessed. So my first rapid fire question, I feel like I already know the answer based on our earlier conversation, but eggs were a key ingredient in your first challenge. So I'm wondering, what is the perfect egg preparation in your mind?
So I want to say scrambled.
Okay.
Because that's my everyday eater. But real life, it's a 6-minute soft boiled egg.
Okay. Yes. I love both. You're right. Like the scramble is the easy thing that you can just whip up in the mornings. But the soft boil is so luscious and sexy.
It's sexy.
To take a page from your book. You have a hashtag, we'll travel for food and booze. And you've, as we mentioned, been doing a lot of that lately. Where is it taking you next?
So I was just in Chicago, currently in Seattle. I have to go home at some point from New Jersey.
I guess so.
Yeah. And then where am I going after that? I think I might go back to Seattle for a little bit.
Nice.
And at some point I have to go visit Manit. She keeps asking me to come down to Nashville and do a pop-up with her.
Oh so, my gosh, you absolutely should.
That will 100% be in the works very soon.
I love Manit so much.
I do too. She's such a sweetheart.
Again, she was somebody, I remember when, you know, her season that she won, I feel like everybody, like I was rooting for her and you know, similar vibes with you. So question you wish you were asked more often.
Question I wish I was asked more often. What's my favorite color?
What is your favorite color?
It's purple and orange.
Purple and orange.
Okay. Yeah, I can't pick between the two. But I only wear like black and like gray and everything. So everyone thinks that like that's my favorite color. I'm like, no, you should just ask me what my favorite color is because it's purple and orange.
I know. And those are complementary colors as well, I believe, like on the color wheel, right? If I remember my art from, you know, middle school. All right. Favorite cocktail.
Favorite cocktail. It depends on my mood. If I'm in a bourbon mood, it's an old fashioned. If I'm in a mezcal mood, then I really love a mezcal Negroni.
Okay. Yes. Love.
And gin, same thing. But I really love a nice gin and tonic.
Okay. I love all those things. Kitchen tool you can't live without.
Wooden spoon.
Okay. I don't know if we've heard that one yet. So I like that.
I can't cook my sauce without a wooden spoon.
That's true.
It doesn't taste good.
You got to get all the bits, you know, from the bottom.
There's something in the wood. Like, I don't know if it's like
retains, like kind of like a cast iron. Like it retains
like building grime and like nastiness. And I'm like, yeah, get that in there, baby.
So you don't want a new wooden spoon. You want the old one that you've had forever, right?
Yeah. The one that you're like kind of questionable about. Don't worry. Like I'll take
burn,
it.
There's like burn marks on like the handle.
Oh,
and
yeah.
All the
chipped. Yeah, I'll take it.
All right. What is always in your fridge?
Oh, LaCroix sparkling water.
Same.
Pamplemousse all day.
Pamplemousse is definitely the number one for sure.
Or apricot.
I was going to ask, what's your number two? Because I feel like pamplemousse is kind of like the, you know, consensus favorite, but everybody has a different number two. So
yeah.
Apricot, I have not tried. So I will have to get on that. I feel like they don't sell that one as often in as many places.
So good.
Okay. I'll have to get on that. Advice you would give to your younger self.
Just keep working your butt off. That's all I say. Like, put your nose down, do it while you're young. Because one day you're going to want to enjoy life.
Yep. No, that's excellent advice for sure. All right. This last question is not rapid fire. This is just whatever comes to your mind. We want to know what's on the menu for your perfect food day. So we want you to take us through the day. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert. There are no rules. You can travel, time travel, spend as much money as you want. Anybody can prepare these meals. You can prepare them. No calories counting in this. Yeah, it's your day. You can do whatever you want with it. We just want to hear about
it. Snacks count, right?
Yes. Yes. You can throw in some snacks, too. Like lunch can be like three courses in different places. There's no rules.
No rules. No holds barred. So I would like to start off my day. I have a new obsession with lavender oat milk lattes.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So I would love to start my day off with that and a nice Queen Amon.
A what?
A Queen Amon.
What is that?
It's like it's a croissant pastry.
Oh, yes.
And then they like before they roll it up and shape it, it's kind of like pinched together. They put salt and sugar.
Ooh.
So it makes like this sweet and savory, like crispy layer.
Yum.
Oh, gosh. It's the best pastry.
I need to seek this out immediately.
Oh, my gosh. You take one bite and you're like, oh. Gosh, that was so good. And then I would like to have a late lunch with mm-hmm. Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, yes.
Eating mapo tofu.
Oh, yes.
Sweating, nose dripping, couple of beers, maybe a joint.
Yep.
And then I would like to have dinner with both of my grandparents, both my grandmothers.
Okay.
I want my grandmother to make her meatballs sauce. And sausage, like that was like one of my favorite things. And then I want my other grandmother, I want her to make shrimp and macaroni salad, taco salad, her ribs. And then I would love to have my Italian grandmother make her didadals for me because like I can make the didadals. I have her recipe.
What is
They're
that?
It's not as good. It's an Italian cookie.
Okay.
Kind of like a tea cookie.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a very light glaze on it with nonpareils on it. So good. But nobody can quite make them the way she did. There was just something so good. And then I would like to have my other grandmother's meringue pie. She always made me a key lime meringue pie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I would need like something savory after dessert, right?
Of course.
So my grandmother, every Christmas Eve, we have pasta aglio olio. And she makes it with a ton of anchovies and garlic and a ton of Parmesan, pecorino cheese. And it's probably like the most simple and delicious, decadent bowl of pasta. And I would like to finish my entire night with that.
I love it. I love that you are finishing your day with pasta. I feel like that's very on brand.
Who doesn't want to end their day with a nice, sexy bowl of pasta?
Yeah. Now I must do that immediately as well. All your whole food day has given me lots of inspiration. So thank you for that.
For sure.
And thank you so much for taking the time. Again, we have loved watching you and cannot wait to see what happens next in the TOC finale.
It's going to be exciting. And thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
You can see how Brit does on the finale of Tournament of Champions this Sunday, April 9th at 8/7 Central on Food Network and Discovery Plus. Make sure to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a thing. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review. We love it when you do that. That's all for now. We'll catch you foodies next Friday.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.